yeah. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. Talking about a revolution. Ooh, I've been standing in the welfare lines, crying the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know talking about a revolution sounds. Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution.
Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rollo West at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rollo West offers small and large plates, Maryland-styled shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rollo West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. until 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or call 530-636-4468. Thank you all for tuning in. Today is May 3rd, 2016, and in the studio we have Stacy and Gerard of Respectful Revolution. So we are going to continue our conversation on love and community. And I'm wondering if you would like to share with you why you believe Respectful Revolution fits into love and community.
Ooh. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Yeah. There's a lot of ways that the Respectful Revolution fits into love and community, in the broadest sense, I believe. You want to answer that question, or you want me to do it?
Well, I think it's a vast labor of love, you know, what we do. The fact of, you know, first of all, doing it together. It's not my project. It's not Stacy's project. It's a couple's project. It's our baby, you know. And we've been at it now for 4 years, and
like four and a half.
Four and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, we are powered by passion. We are powered by love for the world, love for people, love for you know, good actions people are taking to make the world better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think we have a montage that we made. It was one of the very, very first things that we made, where we went around Chico and we asked friends what the word respect means to them. And the last answer that we chose to close the montage with was a man named Steve Rodwick, who said, if you extend the idea of respect, it just becomes love. It is love.
Yeah.
And I think that's the place that we're coming from, really, truly. Yeah. And trying to utilize what we're doing to inspire people and bring people together So in the broadest sense of community, like as a, you know, not just a regional and local community, but as a world community.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's why I wanted to invite you, you both onto the show today.
Yeah, why did you want to invite?
Well, I feel strongly after, you know, following Respectful Revolution and participating in panels and watching videos that really what we're looking at is creating community through love. Right. And through respect. Yeah. And so if respect and love are parallel to each other, and then incorporating that sense of community. So, you know, when I'm watching videos from Austin, or when I'm watching videos from Boulder, or when I'm watching videos from, you know, all over the United States, it seems to me that I'm able to visualize what love looks like in communities across the United States. And so for me, that's what the Respectful Revolution has shown. And so I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners who may not be as familiar with the Respectful Revolution, what it is that you do. What is the
purpose?
I feel like
we've talked about it so much on KZFR. KZFR has been so good to us. Okay, but for those who don't know, why don't you tell people, Gerard?
Okay. Well, we sort of create an ongoing catalog, video catalog, of portraits of people who take action around the country about something that they deeply care about, typically solving some issue. And it can be, it may have to do with environment, it may have to do with mentoring children, it may have to do with taking care of something, maybe the elderly, maybe fighting animal cruelty, something that you do because you care deeply about something. You're not in it for the money, not in it, you know, just counting how much you're going to profit here from something. You do it first and foremost because you care. And hopefully you're going to make a living, you know, out of it. But the first and foremost thing is you do this because you care.
Yeah, and I would say most of our stories are volunteers, actually.
Volunteers, we have some stories also about ethical businesses, you know, it's also part of the deal. But I think especially, I think, you know, for me as an immigrant, there's a little bit this situation where I see the full spectrum of the American dream, you want to say, the American experience, that go clearly from people who crossed the ocean and came here and stayed here because they had this vision of creating a better world. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the spectrum, you have total exploitation. Exploitation of everything and everybody, mercilessly, you know, every blade of grass, every animal, every anything has to be just ground, you know, like whatever. And clearly this is a whole different ball game. There's no love here. You know, it leaves dust and blood behind and a sense of disgust and a sense of not belonging to this, you know. And to me, it's super important to show the other side. I think many people have seen this over time, you know, from the bad side, you know, from, you know, here, abroad, and there's so much goodness happening here. It blows you away. Once you're on the road and you meet people, you meet generous folks everywhere, kind folks everywhere, people with vision, with care, with heart, and you never really hear that on, I would say, mainstream TV, in the news. And so it's my labor of love for this side of the country to do this.
Yeah, you paint a very vivid picture, I would say, with words.
He does.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that we tend to focus on the negative, and so.
I think because that's what's shown to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, way more often than not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a young age, we're told not to do this, or, you know, you shouldn't do this, or, you know,
well, yeah,
the struggles.
And media-wise, I mean, that was definitely one of the components to our decision to start this project, was that we felt like our experience in the world wasn't being reflected very well at all, and our experience was people are awesome.
Nice.
You know, and especially having Chico as a springboard. I mean, every time we left the house, we were talking to somebody who was doing some awesome thing, like starting a show at KZFR, for example, not getting paid, doing it because they care.
Right.
And we're surrounded by people like that. And we just felt like it's an underserved population as far as people knowing what's going on. I mean, granted, it's like we didn't think we were going to walk out our door and reach as many people as like the New York Times or something, but we thought we would throw throw our skill set behind whatever it was that we can do, and this was the idea that came forward.
So what I'm hearing is the idea for the Respectful Revolution came from your own experiences in your community, seeing all mm-hmm. the awesome things that were going on, but not really hearing about them in a mm-hmm. kind of global sense. Is that correct?
Yeah, indirectly that, for sure. And then I would say directly, it came out of the fundraiser that we had for Gerard when, mm-hmm. when we were having immigration issues. And he had lived here for a year and a half and really was starting to ingrain himself in the community in a really hands-on, enthusiastic, as is his character, kind of way. And then he couldn't come home. And when things got really scary and I asked for help, this community just came through for us in such a big way. It was incredible. Mm. And that, you know, that left a lasting impression on us.
Yeah, I just got the chills.
Oh.
I remember that experience, actually.
Yeah, it was big for us.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely life-changing for a lot of people involved.
Definitely yeah. for us.
Yeah. So, indeed. Speaking about the Respectful Revolution, who is involved? What does it look like when you are developing a video or a part of the series?
It's a short list, Sky.
Well, tell us what's on your short list.
Well, it's essentially mostly the two of us. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say Stacy tends to take care about a lot of administrative things and managerial things. I tend to do a lot of research and talking to people that, you know, we're looking for on the road. So we research in advance, a couple of months prior to hitting the road. We look for individuals, groups, businesses in the towns that, you know, I'd be crossing. Sometimes Stacy will join me on the road, but at this point, it's mostly me. You
and your motorcycle, is that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's also, you know, for me, it's a way to cultivate a sense of beauty and live an adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I grew up reading about pioneers and people who Lewis and Clark were exploring the continent. And I think today, of course, there may not be this type of exploration opportunities, but there are other ways to also live adventures and explore, you know, things. And so to me, sort of this engagement, this physical engagement of being exposed to elements on the road like this, traveling with few belongings and being exposed, you know, to heat, cold and everything, it's part of sort of signing on, you know, with my American dream of, you know, roughing it and, you know.
Yeah, basically the Respectful Revolution is just a ploy to get Gerard on the bike. I'm joking.
Well, you know, it's like any good joke.
There's a little bit of truth in there.
Yeah. It's an important component. It's become an important component to the project for sure. So, yeah, to continue what Gerard was saying, it's basically the two of us. We get a little bit of help from friends, like Jim Miller has been a huge help to us in recently. And musicians, when we need music, have been really awesome about donating music to us for the show that we're building. But for the most part, it's the two of us researching, filming, producing, editing, which is just a massive amount of work, and curating the website, the YouTube page, the Facebook page, all that stuff.
Yeah, and if you go to Love in the 21st Century's Facebook page, you can find links to the Respectful Revolution and some of the videos on there if listeners would like to check that out.
Yeah. So did we even say that that's what we're doing? We're traveling around creating short video portraits. I don't even know that we got to that point. Of people all around the country.
Yeah, so what does that mean? You're making short video portraits. What is that?
Well, it's essentially we create mini documentaries. Like we find a person, say, who opened a restaurant that's fine-tuned to helping local farmers sell their excess products, example. So it just so happens that that's actually, I'm thinking about a person, Linda Isley, who's part of our Durango episode that's showing next week. We're going to get this week on Saturday. We'll talk about this later. So we find this person. We follow her a little bit in the restaurant, see how she operates, and film in the restaurant, film her outside the restaurant, buying stuff. And then we interview her around typically sort of three essential questions. What do you do? The person explain concretely, tangibly, what's what I do, you know, that's how I do it. And then we go into the motivation. So why are you doing it? Why do you care so much about doing business this way? And so we delve into the motivations and sometimes intertwine with the same question or sometimes separate. So who are you? Who is this person who makes it happen? Because the rationale is that now that we've been wowed by what you do, we've been wowed even more by your motivations. Now we want to know you. We want to be your friend. You know, we want to see what kind of superhero can do that. Mm. And it's not a superhero. It's just a regular person like you and me who cares about something. And that's really the, I would say, the thrust of our motivation. We want to show people that it doesn't take a superhero. Anybody can do something cool. You just have to believe in this little thing that you care about and believe that you can make a difference, big or small.
Yeah, so mini documentaries about 5 to 7 minutes in length, generally speaking.
Awesome. You two are just so amazing. And I hope you realize that. I mean, we love having you on. This is Tamara, by the way, for anybody that's listening. And we just really love what you do. I mean, I remember moments ago when you were talking about respect as an extension of love. Mm-hmm. And I've recently been able to spend some time with just, you know, some cosmic family that just randomly end up in the same place. And they're all sharing the same message that, like, it's really about love. And when you're talking about respect in that dynamic, it's like, what's the ultimate form of loving somebody but to respect what they're doing and respect their livelihood and respect their choices. And so just so much praise to what you're doing. And now you are on television, right?
Yeah,
4.5 years, and now people can see it on television. So
that's true.
Where can they see it?
We are creating 10 episodes for Free Speech TV. Nice. Which is a progressive news channel, a nonprofit, actually, progressive news channel. It's like a community radio station, but for television, and it's national, out of Denver, Colorado. And you can get Free Speech TV in a couple of different ways. You can get it on Dish Network. You can get it on DirecTV. You can stream it live via your computer. And you can also get the free Roku channel if you have a Roku device. So we just had our premiere last Saturday. We didn't even know it was going to happen until like 2 days before. We're just like, shove everything to the side, start telling people. It was very frantic. But very exciting. We thought it was going to happen in about a month. They have 2 episodes in their hand right now, and that's it.
Nice.
And they premiered the first one, which was all stories from in and around Chico, California.
Chico, representing.
I know. It was great. So Ron Toppy was a story we did.
The bike guy.
The montage that I mentioned, What Does Respect Mean to You, was one. Then we also showed a story on Matt York, who is the...
founder of Videomaker.
I was searching for the word
and
founder.
OMPT.
And OMPT, which is called One Mobile Projector Per Trainer, which is a nonprofit that travels to the poorest countries in the world to donate video gear and train them in the use of this video gear. It's a super cool nonprofit. And then our last story was actually a Red Bluff story about a woman named Alicia St. Germain who lost her husband to cancer when he was 32 years old, leaving her a young widowed mom. And she moved through her loss by moving her and her kids into a tiny house.
Wow.
And so that was our Chico episode. Mm-hmm. So who needs to watch that now? I just told you all about. No, I'm kidding.
We get to meet the people through watching your videos.
Yeah, you get
so
to
that's
meet
what's
them
so amazing.
Like, a little bit.
What Gerard was explaining, how that really captivates who they are as people. So
yeah, we
still
hope
lots to watch
a little
for.
Bit. And then we weave those stories together with road footage and narrative that we're writing and voicing.
So that episode aired already. Is there a way to watch that?
Yeah, too? It's re-airing. They're rebroadcasting it tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, at 10:30 Pacific time on Free Speech. So you can stream it or get it through those channels. I can mention those channels again later if you like, or right
Absolutely.
Now.
Whatever. So Free Speech.
Free Speech TV, freespeech.org is their web address. And let's see, DirecTV, I think you have to have a high definition channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's DirecTV. And Dish Network is the other one that Free mm-hmm. Speech is on. Or your Roku. It's a free channel to get on your Roku. That's how we watch it.
And much of that footage that was aired is also on your website, correct?
Yeah, all of those individual stories. So the story on Ron, the montage, the story on Alicia St. Germain, and the story on Matt York are all on our website. And I believe all of them are on our YouTube channel as well. But what you see on the television show is actually a produced 30-minute television program that's, and all those stories are tied together with video footage taken on the road and narrative that we've written.
And the website is respectfulrevolution.org.
Yep, that's right.
I'd like to ask you, going back to your story for how this got started,
mm-hmm.
It sounds like a pivotal moment was the time when you were had your the immigration challenges, and before that you did documentaries for a while, and my understanding is a lot of those were also focused on negatives, problem oriented. Mm-hmm. And so
entirely, pretty much.
So I'm curious, what do you think was like that moment that made you shift? Because it sounds like to me there's the big kind of change that happened is this focus on the positive. You're really wanting to bring out what's happening, what's inspiring.
Well, thank you for this this question. Yes, I think there's two things. A, I probably burnt out a little bit on always doing horror stories, you know, talking about the business of war and who's suffering and who's profiteering. And also, I think, especially in the wake of the second Gulf War, or the third, actually, Gulf War for people in the Gulf, so much has been said and done and written and filmed about the business of war that, to me, what was the point of always, you know, rehashing the same things over and over again? And also, I'd been traveling extensively through the country, showing a few documentaries like Hidden Wars of Desert Storm and The Oil Factor Behind the War on Terror, Plan Colombia also. And I saw so many really, really fine, generous, beautiful folks around the country doing all sort of things. You know, when you go to a town, you hang out a bit with people, you know, you meet people, you see what's going on. And I was really touched by seeing a bit, you know, this sort of, this revolution of caring. Like, you stop, I mean, I've stopped watching Fox News a long time ago. You know, I would have hanged myself, you know, if I was only watching that kind of crap anyway. And so I need positive. I threw my TV, you know, away a long time ago. But anyway, I saw beauty. I saw lots of beauty. I saw kindness. And I thought, you know what? This is what should be shown. And I've had also this, I have some people making sort of similar comments also when I had public events, you know, maybe you should look at directions and solutions. And I thought, yeah, no, absolutely. That's what ought to be done. Now we know. We know the negatives. We know what's wrong. Now it's more important, I think, to find, to go in directions of solutions.
And I think it was sort of a personal evolution for ourselves as well. I think especially after that year plus, like those 15 months that Gerard was gone and a lot of other things that were going on during that time. I think once everything ended up being okay and we got through all that we just didn't really have the stomach to not focus on the positive and focus on the beauty. I see someone polishing your motorcycle helmet through the studio window. We wanted to focus on what's good. It's so much, just from an energetic standpoint, it's so much more important to focus on the world you want to create than to constantly be giving your energy to what you don't want. And so I think that was a super, coming out of all of that, that was a big turning point for both of us.
I would definitely agree that it's more hope inspiring to hear about what people are doing positive in the world than what they're doing wrong.
It's so much more empowering, right?
Absolutely. As Gerard was saying, it's so common that that is reported on, mm-hmm. that's what we're being bombarded with so frequently. And mm-hmm. so if we could just, you know, sort of balance out the scales, because in reality, there's a lot of people out there doing really good things that are doing it for free, that are doing it from the, you know, the calling in their heart. Mm-hmm. And that inspires other people to realize that they're capable of you know, creating change in their communities right. in that way. And to see, you know, there are people out there that care and want to see things get better. From all different types of walks of life. There's not just one type of person out there that's, you know, the quote-unquote do-gooder, you know. So that's I love looking at this map that you have on your on your website that it, like, traces Gerard's tracks there. And
yeah, there are three trips on that map.
Nice, and how it just really indicates the different areas. How do you find the people that you end up sharing stories about?
It's easy.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually more an issue to not feature people than to feature them. Well, we start by identifying an itinerary, some town, some cities, and then using key search words to find online either organizations or businesses that do something, again, that sort of springs from the heart, from caring. And then we work the phone. We try to find, and again, because one specificity or so, one thing that I moved away from was just talking about issues and ideas and problems or else. But in this case, I wanted to focus on people, to create portraits so that it's more sort of humane and you delve into a person's life. So I'm not interested in finding just when I call a company. It's more an issue of finding a person. So when we find an organization, we try to talk to them in the sense of, we need to find a person. Doesn't have to be the person who started the thing. It can be somebody who jumped in or so. But somebody who has an element of charisma, it's important and on camera.
And we try.
We can sort of share a bit, you know, their heart and passion on camera. So that's really the thing. And frankly, there's so many people that, especially now that we have a bit more traction, we have a track record, so people go online, they can see, you know, what we do, so it's easier to get people on board, you know, of course.
Yeah, we're so thankful to those first, you know,
people who said
100,
yes.
100 people that said yes.
At the beginning, when we had nothing to show for, really.
Yeah, you know? And trusted us to tell a story.
I know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's a case of, like, anywhere, you have to decide, okay, now I stop, because there's just... You'd stay anywhere pretty much forever, unless you're in a town of 16, you know, inhabitants. You know. But if there's at least a few thousand people, you could be there a long time.
So for our listeners who aren't able to see this map, can you tell us a little bit about where you've been?
Sure. So the very first trip was from Daytona Beach in Florida back to San Francisco through a southern route. And because I bought from a friend of mine in Florida a Harley Sportster motorcycle. I was looking for this model because it's very fuel efficient, mm-hmm. small bike, but you can equip mm-hmm. it, actually make it definitely suitable for long distance. So I went through, you know, southern route and shot about, I don't know, that's first year, maybe 60 stories, mm-hmm. maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
And then the second year was a tour of the northwest quadrant of the country, roughly from here to Pueblo, Colorado, to Bismarck, North Dakota, to Bellingham, Washington. And there I shot 100 stories, which was maybe a mistake because it's much faster to shoot than to edit. And took me a long time to get caught up on this one. And last year I went from here to St. Louis, doing a bit of a flat loop through Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and back through Nebraska, Colorado, Utah. I shot about 40 stories, so it's much more manageable. That's what I'm cutting right now.
And that year we did a combination for a few weeks where we shot stories... I came and met you. We shot stories for a few weeks, and we did public presentations in towns that we had already done stories in and edited and produced stories in, and tried to bring people in those communities back together, you know, under the umbrella sort of the Respectful Revolution Project presenting in a public forum these stories from their town and bringing people in, kind of like what we did here last spring in Chico. Just
the panel that you had?
Yeah, the 8-week putting ideals into action series that we did. So we kind of did that too that year, that last big road trip. We're shooting less stories these days just because there's still editing to be done. We have probably a total edited and unedited about 200 stories.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Yes.
That's a lot of goodness going on in the world.
Yeah, and that's a drop in the bucket.
So I'd like to just take a quick break and remind our listeners that you are tuned into FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, and you are listening to Love in the 21st Century with Gerard and Stacy from Respectful Revolution, Tamara and Sky, and Jonah in the station. So what else? Is there anything? I'm wondering, I know that you probably love everything that you've shot, right? But is there a segment that really stands out for you?
Like a portrait that really stands out?
Yeah, something that maybe either resonated with you or, I mean, I don't want to say favorite because I feel like that would be hard to pick.
It would be hard to pick. Gosh, there's a lot. There are a couple that I'm really proud of. Can I go first?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah. I'm really proud that Gerard had the wherewithal to interview these two kids from Boulder, Colorado, who started Earth Guardians. They have Aztec names, Shutescot and Itzcoatli, and they're two brothers who at the time were, I believe, 13 and 10. They're beautiful. They're old souls, like crazy for sure, reincarnated. They're so incredibly well-spoken and articulate for their young age, and they do hip-hop, and they play the piano, and they make music videos, and they speak in front of the UN.
We're actually going to listen to one of their songs towards the end of the show, yes.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Yeah, and so they're one of our stories. Gerard just talked to them in a park in Boulder, Colorado, and got a few people from town talking about what they thought of these two and as it pertained to this idea of respect. And to watch these two kids grow and mature and grow into their purpose on this planet, it has been so, what's the word? Like, it's just so satisfying. Mm-hmm. We saw them at Bioneers. Like, they presented at Bioneers last year. And this year, they are... The older brother, I don't know if Itzcoatli is involved in the lawsuit or not, but Shutescot, who's the oldest brother, is one of the kids who is involved in a lawsuit that has just been approved by a circuit court judge or a state, I can't remember. And he kind of at the big level, this judge just okayed this lawsuit against the U.S. government to go through. These, I think it's 21 kids are suing the U.S. government on the behalf of everyone in the world because they don't think because their right to a healthy future has been squandered by policies that have affected climate change to such a degree that they're not going to be able to have the same things that generations before them have had. So that lawsuit is brought on by one of the kids who is one of our stories. So I have a special place in my heart right now. I just feel so proud of those kids.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that part of how they are able to do what they're doing is because of individuals like yourselves who are actually looking at the solutions and highlighting those and showing people that these things can be done.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know what our story did for them or didn't do for them, but I think it helps to have people pay attention to what you're doing, and you're not just existing in a vacuum, which is one a super important component for us that we want people. That's where the whole inspiration part, I think, kind of comes in for us, not just merely solutions, but also we want people to know that they're not existing in a vacuum. Like, these things that they're feeling are... are resonating with so many people around the country and around the world, like a revolution. What about you, Gerard?
Yeah, it's difficult to, you know, for me to say, oh, that's the story that stands out, because also it changes sometimes, you know, you're in a mood for a certain type of topic, or you watch a video that you shot maybe 2-3 years ago and you remember an intense feeling that came from meeting this person. So it kind of, you know, I go back and forth, you know, sometimes I think about this person or that person. So I typically often speak about this this ex-Marine and sport coach in New Orleans who took care and mentored a bunch of kids after Hurricane Katrina. I really like him a lot and what he did.
Kendrick Perkins in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And so, but this time I'm trying, okay, I always speak about him for some reason.
He's adorable.
we have nothing in common. I'm going to try to think about somebody else. And
what about Cage in Portland?
Cage in Portland is a good person. Yes, absolutely.
He's amazing.
Yeah, you want to talk about Cage?
No, you tell.
But I didn't think about Cage. So you talk about Cage. Talk about Cage.
So Cage is a. You tell it better.
I don't know.
It's very adorable.
Well, Cage is. He likes to say a football coach, meaning
football, not soccer.
Not American football. And he comes from. It's almost like I don't want to sell out a story by saying right off the bat that he's transgender, because you would never guess. He's a young man, extremely dynamic and, you know, funny, strong, nice, likable.
Also adorable.
That, you know, started his life as a female by mistake, apparently, and became, you know, a guy, and you would never tell. You would never, ever tell. And yeah, I mean, he has so much generosity. Suffered, you know, discrimination a bit when he was younger. Had trouble also finding his place at school and then in society.
Especially because he was so loved sports.
Hmm. Where, you know, it was not accepted to be somehow...
A little harder,
I think. You know, mm-hmm. Gay or transgender is difficult. And so eventually he made a place for himself and decided to help other kids who also have trouble finding their place in sport. Often, sometimes because of issues of, cost, first of all. They come from poor families and they can afford doing sport in clubs as a student can be expensive. You know, it's a business, of course, and parents are often squeezed pretty hard to pay for that. And some poor families cannot necessarily keep up. So he wanted to help on this level, wanted to help kids also who had, you know, either psychological or sexual issues that were also an obstacle to being in a regular club. And he put together this club that became a sort of a model and was eventually picked by, you know, a large brand for sponsorship in Portland. And don't necessarily say what brand, but I'm sure you can figure it out. It's pretty simple in Portland.
Yeah, somebody out there is probably wearing their shoes.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And so yeah. No,
yeah, so he created a football club that specifically exists to serve kids who might not otherwise have an opportunity to find a home in a soccer club. So if cost or background or sexual orientation or anything like that is an issue for them, they have a home at this and they're doing great. It's totally doing great.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like love in action for me.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's what all of this is, Skye. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this is. You summed it up.
I get chills just thinking about it. Fantastic.
Mm, we try to stay in touch with the people. Part of the thing that we want to do is create.
Fall in love with them.
Exactly. and like anything else, you know, you meet people, sometimes chemistry is good or not so good, you know, you really connect or not so much, you know, it depends. But for sure, we have met some, I have, because I'm on the road myself, but, you know, the day will come when Stace and I will be together, maybe in a little RV or something.
We need a trailer.
Or an RV. And, but still with a rack in the back for a motorcycle, because...
Of course.
No, come on. And, we must have stayed good friend with, I don't know, maybe 50 people, perhaps. And part of our secret dream is to create a network of people mm-hmm. who can eventually know each other, support each other, either locally or across the country. Because it's so important, especially when you swim against the stream, sometimes to feel isolated. And even though this revolution is happening, you know, there's definitely a revolution of caring, where now it's becoming again the norm, you know, to care about people and do business from the heart. Nevertheless, sometimes you may feel alone, and that's a big part for us to promote this or to help create, foster this sort of community of heart. And that's something that really, really touches us and motivates us and makes us feel like we are on the right track.
It's so fun to hear you tell actual stories of people. It really, like, gives me the sense of the heart of what you're doing.
Well, that's good to know.
Like, when you're asking me who I was thinking about, today I was thinking about Kevin Fulton. Here's this...
Oh, yeah,
this
Kevin.
Giant farmer, rancher in Nebraska.
Did he used to be a wrestler?
He was a wrestler. Yeah. The guy is enormous. I mean, he's a Hercules. And raised his kids alone, you know, in this beautiful land in Nebraska. He has some cattle. And the key thing about Kevin Fulton is that he loves animals. Even though he's a rancher, you know, and some of his animals will end up, you know, butchered for meat. But for him, it's extremely important to treat animals as humanly as possible. He doesn't use any chemicals, doesn't use any weird feeds. His animals have plenty of space. I mean, you can tell, you know, while they're alive, they're happy. And he's been confronting head-on the regular meat industry. He's an activist against animal cruelty. He's part of a network in Nebraska that fights animal cruelty. And just there's something about this strong... You wouldn't say that he's an underdog in a sense, but he kind of is a bit of an underdog compared to the big
an
industry.
An underdog? Is that what you're
a
saying?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, his personality, how he lives with his kids and in this big, you know, open range, kind of touched me on some level. And we remain friends, you know. And so so today, I, you know, who do I love? Yes, I love Kevin Fulton.
I'm sure that it's hard to choose.
And it is very hard to choose, of course.
Now, when Gerard got home, you know, because we collect these stories on the road and then bring all the content home and start editing. So that first trip when he brought all the footage home, we thought we would do it on the road, but it's just not feasible. And when he brought everything home and we started looking through all the footage, I mean, I immediately fall in love, literally, with these people. I love them.
And again, all these stories are available right now online.
Yeah, they're freely available, always.
RespectfulRevolution.org.
Yeah, and we have a YouTube channel of the same name, Respectful Revolution. And we post everything also on Facebook. We have a very active Facebook page. So we encourage everybody to check our Facebook page, Respectful Revolution, and to like us also, because it's important for us. The more likes we have, the more we're going to become attractive for potential, you know, partners and sponsors.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned the fact that this is all a nonprofit endeavor and something that Gerard and I are trying to make our lives work for now. It's hard. So we're like trying to produce a television show with whatever donations and family help that we can get. But we can talk about that in a little bit. Did you guys pull something up? It looks like you pulled something.
Yeah, so we would like to share a short clip of Davy Rogner and Pick Up America. So this is a gentleman and his friend from Maryland, and they decided they were done with the trash that was littering our continent. So we're going to share a short clip.
We love Davy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Hello, my name is Davy Rogner. For 3 years, I traveled across America operating the Pick Up America campaign to pick up trash and educate about zero waste.
I left my home in Maryland, heading for the Frisco Bay. 3,672 miles we roamed now, just to make it to the beach, here to play. But after this, I won't be picking up trash all day.
For the last 3 years, I've been organizing the nation's first coast-to-coast litter pickup. Our group spent 24 months on the road, living in a bus, and coordinating to pick up trash along a continuous route across the entire United States. So we've traveled through Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and now California.
1, 2, 3.
The Pickup America!
All right, let's all jump up and give thanks for this beautiful day and all the hard work of the Pickup America artists.
Today is the momentous day that we have reached the Pacific Ocean and have actually now completed a 3,672-mile route of cleaned highway across America that's continuous. Along the way, we picked up over 100 tons of litter, spoke to about 7,000 students about zero waste and community resilience and climate change and plastic pollution. We've created a number of art projects to exemplify zero waste, things like the recycled peace drum, a 10-person drum made from litter. We've taken on the banner for the Peace on Earth Bench movement and started making bottle brick benches to divert more waste and educate people about bottle bricks. It's a pretty multifaceted project, but Pickup America is the nation's first coast-to-coast litter pickup, and it's a youth initiative that encourages zero waste and cultural sustainability through art, community outreach, and service.
I have been giving school presentations to kids about plastic pollution for free for the past 3 years. Now, I am not a person, environmentalists are not people who are here to ruin your day or ruin your dream. We are people who are here to make this a sustainable planet. We are people who are here to make this a livable planet. And that is exactly why we are all here. What is humanity without a livable planet?
I was in college and my friend Jeff told me he had a dream to walk across America and pick up trash. So we started off, we thought it was going to take us a year and a half to walk across the country, that this day would have come in, you know, mid-2011, but, you know, come mid-2011, we were still in Missouri. So we stayed strong and we kept with it, and, you know, it turned into a three-year project, and overall we've had 33 different people come and live in our camp over this past 3 years. Today at our finale, we had 15 of those 33 people here, which is a testimony to show that this group is like family.
They say the mother and the father, you know, I'm like the emotional one, he's like the rational one. I just love you, man. Thank you.
I think one of the biggest skills that we've learned is how to work with one another. So not just me and Davey, but me and everybody else. He just does things, and he's a dreamer. And so I think every group needs a dreamer or two to pull the group in an awesome direction. And then we also have to balance that out with what can we actually do. But we always need that first person to say, this is what we're going to do. We got to do this because I feel compelled to do this. So Davey has been that for sure.
I come from Silver Spring, Maryland, a suburb of D.C., and here where we live, there's lots of highways and cars, and every day I'd wake up and there was this giant bridge in front of my house, and every time I tried to sleep, I'd hear cars rushing over the bridge, and I'd see this bridge every day. And underneath the bridge ran a stream called the Paint Branch, and I spent much of my childhood exploring this stream, finding every nook and cranny, and catching crayfish, and, you know, seeing the fish, catching fish. You know, we had a little rope swing. And when I got older, there was a decision made to basically destroy the headwaters of this stream by building a giant mega highway over top of it. And I went and testified in front of the state legislature and organized in my community as best as I could to tell, you know, the decision makers that kids need this stream to be happy. Kids need nature to be happy. And, you know, to no avail, they still built the highway. And, you know, it exists now. And I've seen the stream getting worse. I had this moment where I saw it bubbling and running black from the day that they poured the asphalt on the highway. And that was the moment where I realized that I could not just stay in Maryland anymore. That as hard as I can try, that, you know, something bigger needs to happen to inspire people to connect with nature. And something momentous needs to shake people out of this consumer paradigm of just driving around in circles to jobs where we make money and go further into debt to buy things that don't really do much for us. So I decided to start picking up trash across America to show what stewardship of the planet is and to make it a hook for other people to attach to and say, I want to be a steward of my community and I want to protect these streams and I want to protect these forests and I want to live within them and I want to grow food around them and, you know, find abundance because this is an abundant world and live with it. And, you know, the lessons we've learned that kept me going is to share these lessons with other people, you know, the soul strength to keep fighting for what's right in this world, you know, educating about how we are destroying our earth right now. And then, more importantly, educating about the solutions to it. And we know a lot of those solutions. We have them. It's just a matter of people uniting and applying them in their communities. So that's what kept me going, is this, you know, idealistic dream that we can actually have a better America, that we can actually live, you know, in sustainability in our communities. And that, you know, if I walked this talk very consciously, that it would inspire others to want to do that in their home.
Wow, I feel inspired.
Well, good. Yeah, I think that story in particular brings up a really important platform. I don't know if that's the right word. A foundational motivation of ours, in that. Really, like, what's at the very, and this sounds maybe a little crazy, but what's at the very, very end of our spectrum of hope for this is that we would be able to somehow affect behavioral change in human beings on this planet.
Again, the chills.
Because if we don't change our behaviors, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. And humanity won't be able to survive, and we're going to take this incredible planet with us. I mean, we are so lucky to be here. So this is our little attempt to try and, like Davey says, shake people out of their paradigms to choose to evolve.
So if people want to learn more about Respectful Revolution, they can visit respectfulrevolution.org, or you can go to the Facebook page, which is Respectful Revolution.
Yeah, and please go to our Facebook page where we have all our information about the television show being broadcast. Tomorrow night, again, is the pilot episode on Chico. And then next Saturday night at 8:30, on 8:30 Pacific time on Free Speech TV will be episode 2, and that features stories from the super awesome town of Durango, Colorado.
So we have just another minute or so, and I'm wondering if you'd like to tell us a little bit about, just real quick, what's the in the future for Respectful Revolution? What do you have planned for the future?
We would like it to explode into a global movement where people everywhere, that's kind of something that we would like to do also, is to organize workshops around the country, maybe abroad, and teach students to do exactly what we do, and to go out into communities and look for the local, you know, everyday heroes and make stories. And
so when are you find shooting funding. It? Well, when are you doing a video on the two of you?
Oh, I don't know. That's going to be tricky.
Maybe we need somebody.
Maybe somebody will do that. Maybe somebody will do that. Our very first thing is to finish the 10 episodes for Free Speech TV.
Yes.
That's the next thing. And coinciding with that is we have to find funding. Because if we don't find some actual real, like, I mean, we've been super supported by family and by this community in particular. But now we need to find some serious funding to get the television show out there and to bring on staff, because we're totally ready to grow.
Great. Well, I want to thank you both, Stacey and Gerard, for bringing respectful revolution to love in the 21st century. Once again, if you'd like more information on respectful revolution, please visit respectfulrevolution.org or go check them out on Facebook. You can find information on how you can donate as well as what you can do to participate. So once again, thank you for tuning in to 90.1 KZFR Chico and Love in the 21st Century. On behalf of Jonah, Tammy, Tamara, and myself, I want to thank you all and be love.
Thank you.
Love you.
We are the youth and we have come to shine the light. To show you the way you're living just ain't right. It's endangering the future that you will leave. For all living things and for human beings, we're on the brink of ecological disaster. What you do today will determine our future. All generations are counting on you to find yourself and change the things that you do. It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one.
You gotta feel the change
to live the change.
You gotta share the change,
spread the change.
You gotta give the change
to be the change. So be the change, so be the change.
Real change starts from deep down inside. Take a look at yourself, we are not divided. Listen to your heart and see what is real. The oneness of the earth is what you will feel. Breathe in deep and let beliefs go. Be the truth, cause you know you reap what you sow. The society's bonds that have captured your fall. Open your heart and hear our generation's call.
It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one. It's time to be the change and that means everyone.
You gotta feel the change
to live the change.
You gotta share the change
to spread the change.
You gotta give the change
to be the change. So be the change, so be the change.
Don't let society's ways drive you no more. Break down the lock and open a different door. Step out of the cage from where you have been caught. Remember the truth that you have forgot.
We become the change that we want to see. A world's gonna be the way we want it to be.
We are all connected by the same thread. What we do to each other, we do to the web.
It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one. It's time to be the change that means everyone.
You gotta feel the change
to live the change.
You gotta share the change
to spread the change.
You gotta give the change
to be the change. So be the change, so be the change.
Who is the change?
We are the change.
Who brings the change?
We bring the change.
Who is the change?
We are the change.
Who brings the change?
We bring the change.
Who is the change?
Oh, to be in Afghanistan again, when the poppies are in bloom. For a sign of how America's decade-long war is going in this faraway land, look at the beautiful fields of red poppies flowering so bountifully there. Unfortunately, that bounty symbolizes a failure of an ambitious Western initiative against the Taliban forces. Poppies are the raw material for producing opium, and just one Afghan province produces some 40% of the world's opium poppies. That illicit flower power fuels the Taliban with the money to buy weapons, train fighters, bribe Afghan officials, and otherwise make war. So, the West strategy has included an all-out effort to eradicate poppy production, both by banning the crop and by helping Afghanistan's impoverished sharecroppers switch to such alternatives as wheat and cotton. Good theory, if it works. It hasn't. Many poppy growers didn't like having their sure cash crop taken away from them, so they moved to a desert region that's under Taliban control and turns out to be remarkably productive poppy land. Meanwhile, Those raising wheat and cotton are producing good crops, but the Western development specialist forgot to focus on the key factor in convincing people to switch: profit. Afghan cotton is not competitive with cheaper cotton from Pakistan, plus the lone cotton mill in the region often isn't working and is notoriously slow in paying farmers. Bottom line is that more farmers are going into the desert because, as one put it, there aren't any other crops where we can make enough money to fill our children's stomachs. Overall poppy production in